Welcome to season 4 of Conscious Conversations. This season is titled The Educational Experience as Self-Knowledge. We explore learning not merely as instruction, but as a sacred embodied practice, a way of becoming, transforming, and returning to ourselves. I am your host, Mabato Monze, a spiritual practitioner, independent transdisciplinary researcher, and spherical guide. My work is rooted in Africana womanist eco-metaphysics and grounded in indigenous knowledge systems. This podcast is an offering, a living archive of memory and possibility. Together with teachers, artists, visionaries, and cultural workers, we enter conversation as ritual, as recovery, and as reimagining. Welcome. Hey, it's recording. Thank you so much, Ntate Mafolisi Matlane, for joining us in this conscious conversation. I think it must be about a year since we met briefly. I can't remember exactly how, but I know that I was taken by your work, you know, how you write about Ubuntu and just some of the things I feel like resonate with me so much. Although I did not grow up in Lesotho, my mother and her mother and my grandfather were from Lesotho. And so I feel very proud, firstly, to be in community with a person like you. You are very knowledgeable. And I feel proud that, you know, through our conversation, just in terms of my own lineage, I'm connecting to Lesotho and the knowledge that comes from Lesotho and Basotho. And so I asked you to join us in this conversation for season 4, that is titled The Educational Experience as Self-Knowledge, which really aims to, you know, reflect my own journey as an independent researcher and practitioner. My approach to education is not instructional, but more how education can be transformative. I think in the context of Africa in general, education has been a big instrument to dominate our people in various forms, and the manifestation also, you know, comes up in different forms. And so it is something we need to be able to tackle from different angles. And that is why I think education is so important for us to be able to transform as a people, to be able to raise our levels of accountability, and to really work towards healing by remembering who we are, and, you know, how we relate with each other, with ourselves, and most importantly, with the earth. Your work in development, you know, especially of Afro-symbiosity, which is a paradigm that you use really, you know, to address issues of conflict resolution. And it is grounded in the values of Basotho, concepts such as Botho Pula Kgotso Nala, which really offer a vital contribution to how we can begin to reimagine ourselves as Africans. And so without going too deep with the introductions, may I please request you to introduce yourself to our community and just share a little bit about who you are and what got you to this point in your journey?
Well, thank you, Mabato, and good evening to all your community. I'm also very grateful to be here myself. I'm Mafolisi Matlane. I live in Maseru, Lesotho. My journey really started in maybe focused in 2008, even though it was a continuation. That's when I focused on this journey, when I resigned from my employment and decided to follow the path that I'm following. In 2007, I published my first book, a very small book, a prayer book. In one of the prayers, I became very bold and scared after writing the prayer. I requested God to, because I said, "You've been carrying me on your shoulders for a good part of the time while I was struggling. And now you've put me down. You are aware that maybe I'm trying something. I want to request you to please let go of my hand and walk ahead of me. Increase your pace. Give me whatever task you want to give me. I'm ready for the Lord." And I got scared after writing that, but I published it. So it's a covenant. It's not a contract. It's a covenant. I cannot break it. It cannot be broken. And so he gave me this task from 2008. I had been working on social healing. I wasn't quite aware then that it was social healing, but I realized the outcomes of the work I was doing. It was transforming people, helping people to relate better than they had been before. And then I started researching. I stayed at home and researched on my own. And because I wouldn't ask for even any scholarship or funding, because I was not sure I'd be able to convince people exactly what it was I was doing. So I just went into the forest alone. And fortunately, I've been able to find things out. I've been able to find ultimately that everything starts in the mind. Well, of course, we all know that, but what actually happens in the mind, what happens to it is we're created in the image of the Creator and His likeness. And how's that? That means we are able to create whatever we want when we want to and when we prepare ourselves to. So I discovered later that what I'd been researching has to do also even with the economy and almost everything, that we were derailed from our real identity and purpose of life by people who were excessively scared in fear, who would not trust themselves, who had very little self-confidence in themselves, who felt that the resources of the world were not adequate, so they had to amass resources from others. So they learned, they researched and learned about the human brain and the human mind, and then derailed, learned that we are wired for two emotions, fear and love. And that in love, we are able to create whatever we want when we balance fear and love properly. But when we are in too much fear, then we stop trusting ourselves, we start becoming destructive, and we can be controlled just as tamed animals get controlled. And so they decided in slavery, in colonization, in apartheid, they decided to tame us as they tame animals and make us dull so that we can be controllable, and they've been controlling us. But now what I have learned is how then they did that and how we may undo that. And what I discovered also is that what I'd been learning is similar to what the founder of the Basotho Nation, Moshoeshoe, went through. Before he became the founder of this nation, he was, if I may put it roughly, he was a rascal. He was like us. We do all sorts of things to each other and to ourselves. And he had this dream of becoming a great leader of a powerful nation. And his elders advised him that, "No, but you cannot become that great leader of a powerful nation in the type of character, with the type of character that you are. You have to change. And fortunately for all of us, there was this sage, this trainer, this healer called Mohlomi. So they advised him to go to Mohlomi, and Mohlomi healed him, and he transformed. This is why you are talking about Afrosymbiosity. Afrosymbiosity is a conflict management method that Ilongo Ngale wrote about. He says this is the Moshoeshoe way of managing conflict. And that way of managing conflict comes out of the healing and the training that Mohlomi gave to Moshoeshoe, which is what we need right now. A man called Max Dupriez advised graduates at the University of the Free State to take Mohlomi and Moshoeshoe as their role models rather than the other powerful people that they had. And he says, take these guys, Mohlomi and Moshoeshoe, as your role models. And he's advising graduates of all backgrounds, black, colored, and whites, all graduates, human beings. He's not saying blacks should take Mohlomi and Moshoeshoe as their role models. Say everybody. In other words, like Ngale advises us, he's saying that even leaders, Ngale and other scholars are advising leaders to emulate Mohlomi and Moshoeshoe. And so the processes of Ubuntu, recovering Ubuntu, because long-term repression, slavery, colonization, and apartheid derailed us from Ubuntu. They derailed us from our identity and from our life purpose. Human beings are created as social creatures. In other words, the only way for them to survive and thrive is to collaborate in ways that add value to each other. That's the only way they can survive. And that is what we need to recover. That is the Ubuntu that we are talking about. And Mohlomi was, we are told, at age 13, he was scooped to heaven and he was given instructions, leadership instructions. One of the major ones is know your people and love them. And for one to know their people, you have to know yourself first. For one to love other people, you have to love yourself first. And Scott Peck defines love as the will to extend oneself for the purpose of growing one's spirituality and also helping others to grow. In other words, when we love each other, I work hard to grow, but with the purpose of not only my own growth, but growth of the rest of humanity. So that is Ubuntu. And some people, they're never about to think that Ubuntu is African. They think that Ubuntu is for Bantu people. Ubuntu is universal. All human beings have to live like that. In fact, one of the researchers says that in Elizabeth, in Ohio's crossroads, labor pains of a new worldview. She says that bacteria grew out of, matured out of its juvenile hostilities, and realized that it was very important and beneficial for one to feed even who they thought was their enemies, which is what Moshoeshoe did. Which is what we need to do. When we do that, then all of us grow.
Yeah.
So I think, in a nutshell, that is who I am. That is what I live for. That is how I was introduced to you. And when I was told what you were doing, I got excited. This is why I'm most excited to be on this platform tonight.
It's Labor Pains, the title again?
Labor Pains. Of a new worldview.
Of a new worldview. You have shared a lot of profound information. You know, I think we often underestimate the discernment to listen, you know, to hear. And I've realized through my own personal experiences that sometimes, you know, people might be sharing very valuable knowledge, wisdom, but sometimes people cannot hear. You know, the more I live with my ancestors, the more I surrender to spirit, the more I know that the journey is really, it requires humility, you know, and to allow oneself to be led. So with in connection to what you said earlier, your request, you know, to God to say, please walk ahead of me with a faster pace so I can follow you. That's very profound. And I would add that it requires one to develop the ability to hear, you know, because sometimes God is speaking to, well, he's always speaking to us, but can we hear? So that's number one. You speak about what has happened to Black people, people of African descent, but I think more broadly to other nations. I mean, you look at South America, you look at Native Americans, they've also experienced very, very deep trauma through colonization. And I love how you explain what colonization is or what being oppressive means, you know, because it really is it's so simple, right? What has happened to us as humanity. And we can take it from our own personal experiences, like here at home, our individual encounters with life, how we respond to situations in our lives. You know, are we domineering? You know, are we kind? Are we loving? Are we hoarders? Do we want everything for ourselves, kind of like thing? Are we truthful? And so if you are not truthful in a particular situation, is it because you are afraid of losing something? You know, if you lie at work to your employer, you know, you say you're sick when you're not sick, for example, what does that do to you as a metaphysical being? So I believe our spirits, our souls are within us, and they always know the truth. And so when you lie, or when you do something that is out of integrity, you are in opposition with this creator being inside of you. That is you, that is a part of God, right? And how those small everyday actions actually inform what leaders of corporate organizations do, what government leaders do. You know, because I sometimes feel like we tend to think about war and destruction as things that are happening there far, but they happen in our homes. They happen in organizations, they happen in the street, right? They happen. It's just that when we see it being televised that there is war between countries and children are being killed, we imagine it as like this big thing that is happening, but it happens every day in our everyday lives. I often see on social media videos of people who would get mugged in Johannesburg and other people who just walk past, right? They walk past because they're scared if they get involved, they are also likely going to get shot or stabbed or whatever. Some might be afraid because, you know, it has also become a syndicate where women are being used, you know, to stand on the side of the road and pretend to be in danger. You stop to give them a lift, and then you get hijacked by a group of people. So these things are here in our everyday lives, and they're happening. I mean, you look at the rates of child sexual abuse, you know, people raping babies. So you really have to ask yourself, hore bomodimo ba rona bo kae? How do we begin to tackle the trauma that has happened, the fear that is also attached to poverty, you know, and understanding that poverty is it's a created phenomenon, you know, because imperialism and the way they think, which you described earlier, you know, to hoard, to want to kill others, to think that, you know, you are the only one that deserves good things, that kind of a mindset is it's rife everywhere. Employment or inequality, you know, you look at just the social conditions, you know, of our lives, things like the slay queen sort of like behavior. So these things, these violent experiences are happening every day, all the time. And we've got predominantly black leaders. How do we begin to say, stop? In the case of South Africa, it's been 30 years. In the case of Botswana, it's been 60 years. In the case of Lesotho, it's been forever. But at some point, Lesotho had some of the highest HIV AIDS infections, right? When you look at mine workers who leave Lesotho to come to South Africa for employment, the family life that is being disrupted, right? The cultural identity loss that is happening. Young girls leaving Lesotho to come and work as domestic workers in South Africa. So that it's a lot, you know, that is happening on a day-to-day basis that we can attribute to that epistemic wound, you know, to the fact that as Africans we don't know who we are. But it is also deliberate. But also politically, no oppressor is going to liberate you. So it's also our own burden to liberate ourselves. How do we begin to think about these issues?
We begin to think about these issues by first appreciating that it is possible for us to change and improve our life conditions and qualities of life. It is by bringing up role models like Mohlomi and Moshoeshoe, so that people know that it is possible. But we are fortunate because now we are able to talk about Pope Leo the 14th, who says his task is peace for everybody. So it is possible. It is possible that white people, and he represents what, white and black, isn't it? Pope Leo the 14th. So a little bit of black here, a little bit of white there. It is possible that we can come together and improve our lives. We begin to realize that it is possible by seeing examples of Ibrahim Traore and his Sahel colleagues. We begin to see that it is possible by seeing presidents like President Boko of Botswana, who little by little begin to show us that we know the way, here is the way. But now, what we need to do is you also have to help each other to learn. You talked about listening, about hearing. We've got to learn to listen. And we are all wired for that. We are all wired for that because we are like radio stations. Our brains are like transmitters and transformers. we are all able to listen. We are all able to get to tap from the universe. We are able to tap from the creator. But we have to practice. When you practice listening, then you'll be able to hear. When you practice listening, when you detox your brain, when you detox even your body, because the brain, the mind, and the body are one. So even detoxing the body helps the mind to be able to listen. We can all be able to see what happens, what will happen in the future, and what is going to happen, and what we can do, and be able to tap solutions from the universe. We are learning now, students, even from Lesotho, even from South Africa. We see even in sports. This evening, we're listening to news about a South African young lady who's now become Miss World, who's coming home, who's talking about education for all of us, but also who's talking about leadership for leaders to be able to create jobs. But for us to be able to do that is for us to learn about ourselves, to learn about this engine, the brain that we've been given, because everything is that we create is created from there. It is not for neuroscientists to understand how the brain and the mind functions. But as some scholars say, Maureen was tasked by UNICEF to look into what education can learn for tomorrow out of our current experiences. And one of the things that he found, him and another author, Lobotka, say that fragmenting educational disciplines makes us to lose a lot of solutions in the silos that lie between the narrow knowledge that we have. We've got to learn almost everything and put it together. So one of the things that I do is I have developed a program where I bring in knowledge and information from many fields and put it together for us to see how the brain interacts with the outside environment, how we can create from inside, how we were wired very wisely for the creator for fear. So for us to fear change, to fear the unknown is natural. But we've got to be able to tame that. You said we need to be humbled. But we also need to balance humility with courage. Because without courage, we'll not be able to get anywhere. Absolutely. We are given challenges or problems for us to grow out of them. The more we learn how to deal with the challenge, with the new challenge, the better you become. So people cry when they have problems. We shouldn't cry over problems. We should rejoice over them and see exactly what is it that this problem is teaching me. What is it revealing to me? And you talked about the North American Indians. The North American Indians call this problem, this excessive fear, they call it Wetiko. Wetiko, mind virus, and mind blindness. Because we become blind even to who we are. And the other name for the sickness is called anosognosia. It's hidden in plain sight, where we don't see things that are obvious. They are here for us, we don't see them. The creator has put them here for us, we don't see them. An example of what I experienced this few days that when I was here, and fortunately it was said by somebody else, our host here, says, you see the difference in the localities where people live in South Africa. Those who are well-to-do, you can tell from the streets by just looking. You see a lot of trees. Out there where there's poverty, there are no trees. We chop them. We burn them for fire. We uproot them. Here, in the upper class, they grow them and they nurture them. And what do they do to us? These trees and the plants, they produce the oxygen that we need for both our bodies and for our minds. Without that oxygen, we won't have any energy. So when we chop off the trees, what are we doing? We are destroying ourselves. We are destroying ourselves. So my advice now is one of the things that I'm writing about is for people to learn in simple language to grow trees, look after them, grow flowers, grow plants. Why? Because they produce the oxygen that feeds your brain so that you may be able to improve your lives, to develop your body so that you may be able to work for yourself. And these are the type of basic and simple lessons that we need to be teaching to children as soon as they are born. In school, in their games, when they go to school, when they go to play, they should learn about these things and they should see us doing those things.
You speak about the fragmentation of the human being, right? And the fragmentation of education. So the creation of disciplines that seem to not be interconnected. Fortunately, now they've come up with transdisciplinarity or intersectionality, that are theoretical concepts that can help us to think about the interconnected nature of some of the modern world's challenges. But these are things I find African people have always known. So when I research our educational system, it was transferred orally. It was in our proverbs. It was in our day-to-day chores. So going to the river, there would be women having conversations about life orientation, as an example, and then there would be the formal education where people, once you get to a particular stage as a young girl or a young boy, you go to initiation school. And it was not only about what's the word? Circumcision. I think the hypersexualization of society has made us to forget that processes like initiation were more than just about the sexual organ. There were other preparatory processes that were being taught to the initiates, right? So people were being prepared for the different roles they would now be playing in society and, the different changes that are happening in their body. And so education was very holistic. In the literature that I read, things like conflict resolution, as a man, where as you become of age, you then get to participate in certain discussions, whether it's marriage rituals, whether it is rituals around when a person has passed away, whether it is conflict resolution, makgotla, and so on. So, in terms of the philosophy of education, we had a number of approaches, we had concepts that we used, and unfortunately, when the Europeans came to Africa, because they did not understand our way of being and of doing, they then decided that Africans did not have a philosophy or intellect, right? In your work, you speak about concepts like botho, you speak about nala khotso. What do they signify? Because again, as someone involved in remembering our epistemology, and really our ways of being, our concepts, and how we include them in the scientific literature we are documenting. How can we begin to think about those concepts at a theoretical level? What are they and how do we implement them? How do we think about them in practical terms, but also in knowledge production terms?
One of the things that I suspect, I haven't been able to verify it, but one of the things that I suspect in the motto of Basut, you talked about it, also Pulanada, a word is missing, a concept is missing out of those. For me, it has to be Botu, also Pulanada, because without Botu, without Ubuntu, you can't have Hozo. Absolutely, you cannot have it. Nala, Pula is rain, but what it really refers to is the toil that we have to get into when there's rain so that we interact with the soil, we interact with the land so that we can produce the Nala, the prosperity. And we can only do that when we collaborate in value-adding ways. When we use cooperatives, what in Sesotho are called matsema, where in Sesotho, when I have a field and it is time for plowing something, my neighbors will come and will work together on whatever I'm doing. Next time we go to somebody else's and we work together like that. When we harvest, we come and harvest together. And each one of us has harvest. And the community then thrives. It is partnerships, what are called partnerships now. But now the challenge that we have now is that with this excessive fear where we don't trust each other, our businesses, those that thrive, are businesses of individuals. Every time we try to partner, two, threes or more, they fail. Or we don't at all. And yet big business is about collaboration, is about partnering, is multiple, bringing together entrepreneurs so that they can be able to work together. But at the individual level, you can see we are able to improve. But something is also encouraging again. We realize, and I see on the news, young Basotho scientists at the University of Lesotho are discovering a lot of innovative things that are going to help this world. We see even in South Africa. For instance, in South Africa, the first heart plant was done here. And we also have a professor, a medical professor in Popo, who also discovered how to do an operation on the ear. And ears are very important because they are connected with the brain. If the ears do not function properly, the brain will not function properly. We see in sports that South Africans are coping the world in a number of disciplines, which should be encouragement to us that, yes, it is possible. It is possible for us to reach there. But I have published a book chapter with the University of Wits, edited by Dr. Charamba, where I have written about the universal language of sustaining quality, peace, and resilience. It's not enough anymore now to just be talking about peace. We need to talk about quality peace and its elements that care about everybody and that give opportunity to everybody to be able to participate and to excel. And this Ubuntu, unlocking this Ubuntu, the program that I've developed, one of the things it's going to help us with is that the UN reported last year that the Sustainable Development Goals are off track, severely off track, last year, and they are supposed to come to culmination in another 6 years, 2030. But The problem that I'm talking about, which unlocks Ubuntu, which takes us to where? To the performances of our ancestors who built pyramids. Not just the pyramids in Egypt, pyramids in Sudan, many pyramids in Sudan. That type of power, that type of strength, and working together that is able to lift such huge boulders to such heights. We are capable of that. And we need to start. We are working on that. We need to help each other. Thank you for your podcast. We need to share this information and the skills, not just the knowledge, because knowledge is not enough. What we need is for people to be able to do things so that through this podcast, through other ways of communicating, people are encouraged, people are motivated, but people are also given the inner drive for them to be able to commit to doing something better for themselves. Because right now, what you notice is that this colonization and neo-colonization, they give us carrot and stick. They make us so busy. We are busy with our individual disciplines, professions, to make just enough money or to make more money than we need.
Mm.
And we forget about our own Ubuntu, our own identity, our own life purposes, why we are here, to be here and come and live the world slightly better than when we arrived here.
With deep gratitude to Mtutu Ndebele, his Indumba EP not only invites ancestral presence, but it also awakens the spirit.
But I mean, that speaks to values, right? Ndade Mafolo, it speaks to what society renders important right now. When people are living in that excessive fear, where their sense of self is only is tied to their material accumulation, their sense of security is tied to material accumulation because they have seen what it means to be poor, right? And these are things I think we need to be very practical about and very brutally honest about, because the systematic, the structural poverty that most of our people find ourselves in does not give them the capacity to desire more than a paycheck at the end of the month, you know? And the ones that do not survive paycheck to paycheck, their sense of selfhood is centered around Louis Vuitton and, you know, all these other things that we see people honoring. You know, when I actually look at it, I see them as these false gods, because they're so important to them. You know, some of the things I hear young women do, you know, leaving Johannesburg to go to Dubai and place themselves in very compromising situations with Arab men, because they can give them 100,000 now for a night, and that is the life that they feel seen, they feel recognized, you know, going back to that trauma. They want to have a Brazilian hairpiece, you know, that reaches their bums. You know, these are the things that people are identifying with. Their sense of importance is attached to these things. And I think it would be irresponsible to pretend that they do not exist. Because when you go to a government department because you need a public service, a lot of the time, people who are not educated, people who are poor, are treated badly. But when you get there, you are wearing whatever you are, however, you are taken more seriously. You know, you spoke about issues of environment. You go to a place like Mamelodi or Diepsloot, there's no running water. Sometimes the refuse is not collected as it should be. And so a person that must wake up at 4 to be at work at 8, and they're going to get home at 7, and they are living in a shack that is cold. When it's raining, water is probably seeping in. How do we expect that person to have the capacity? Because I find that in my own journey, you know, this thing is about the more you let go of the false beliefs about who we are, the more capacity you have to listen to God, to your ancestors. But when your primary needs, when your basic needs, when your sense of security is not there, you know, how do we, I don't even know how to ask this question, but it is millions and millions and millions of our people between South Africa, Zimbabwe, Lesotho. We don't have a lot of, you know, informal economic migrants from Botswana, as an example, right? Or maybe they are easily integrated because of Setswana. But the ones that stand out, Zimbabwe, Lesotho, they stand out and they are vulnerable, you know? And because of this vulnerability, some of them are subjected to abusive relationships. So it is compounded by a lot of things. Right. And then there's the fake alcohol. I hear now people are making their own alcohols. Right. If a person only has Saturday and Sunday, if they're lucky to rest or to do laundry, to when do they get time, you know, to desire to be in communion with their inner selves? Mm. And I do not mean to be pessimistic at all.
Yes, we have to be realistic. All of us have to be realistic. It is not an easy task by any means. Let's look at what the slave owner or the colonizer did to get us here. They had meetings, long conferences to plan and design what to do for us. They engage people to research. When they had done that, let's look at when they took our ancestors into slavery. Mm. They killed some of them to scare them, to get those who were not killed to be submissive. Mm. They shackled them. They kept them in shackles from Africa to America or to the Arab world. And they kept them in those shackles 24/7.
Mm.
They shamboxed them. They did other things to them. Mm. It's a lot of work. To undo that is not going to be an easy thing.
Mm.
But we've got to start. We've got to start by having simple, small messages that are tied to work that helps people to have to put bread and cottage on the plate on a daily basis, because that is the immediate challenge. But also help them to realize that they have the capacity to change.
Mm.
Help them to appreciate that it is only when we interact with the land that we'll be able to live. But interacting with the land requires of us to have the mental strength to be able to do it, but also to have the patience to realize that you cannot plant a seed today and have a harvest in the morning.
Mm.
That it takes time. It's going to take a bit of time for us to be able to do that, but it's going to take us a lot of thinking to be able to simplify the messages. What the colonizers taught us in separating us, fragmenting us, fragmenting the disciplines, was that even as we address our challenges, we should fragment them. Look at, I talked about sustainable development goals. How are they? They are fragmented. That's talking to people who are responsible for the sustainable development goals in the SDG. They are responsible for four. Now, because our problems are interconnected, because life is itself interconnected, if you focus on these four, how do you hope to succeed when you do not do anything about the other 13? Because they will impact on these ones. Those that you are not dealing with will affect these ones. So one way or another, we have to find a way, which is what I'm working on, of helping people to learn from the graduate. The values of life, the ma'at values from which Ubuntu derives. It gets drilled, taught to infants throughout, whether they're in the family, playing in kindergarten, playing in sports. These messages should be there with practical work that helps them to internalize and to be able to transfer these values into real life. So sometimes people believe we can be able to do that, this just over talking. No, we can encourage each other over talking. Even the reading that I'm encouraging people to do, we can only read to get knowledge, but we need to develop skills and we need to develop the inner drive to be able to achieve things. I'm just hoping that we are not talking for the last time, because in this one podcast, we cannot be able to come up with solutions. People have to digest things. Next time, maybe when we have an opportunity to talk, we'll take it to another level.
Absolutely.
And another level. And another thing that is important is people do not realize the simple things of life, that anything that we do well, we learn through repeating it. Through repeating it. So what a lot of people believe in is that they can hear something today and then that is it. Things should change, and it does not change that. We are created to learn through repetition and slight improvements and more repetition.
That is absolutely true. No, these conversations are heavy, hey? They're heavy. They're not for the faint-hearted. But before we get to the conclusion of our conversation for this evening, can you please tell us a little bit about the Basotho people?
What do I tell about the Basotho people?
Just how they are, you know, how you, and I know a lot has changed, right? But just in terms of cultural identity, you know, the land, the sense of spirituality that emerges from Lesotho. And maybe your hopes as well from Lesotho as a country of your birthplace.
I have high hopes. We are a diverse people. We are a very diverse nation. Remember how we were founded. People running away from wars from all over the place and then brought together to be one. So even today, you find that there are people who excel in things. But some are down there, disgruntled, maybe have lost hope. But we've got to mix all of that together so that we can become like the founder. So that we can become heal like the founder. We have people, for instance, recently, just a few weeks ago, we read about a young lady who, scientist, she's still a student at the National University of Lesotho. She's developed a tool that will help traffic. It will increase traffic safety. Where if you are drunk, your car will not start. Where after every 10, 15 minutes, it keeps monitoring, evaluating. If you are drunk and you started it, it started moving, now you continue drinking, it stops.
That's nice.
That's how we are. One of us, a professor, is quite ahead with the discoveries of healing cancer. And some of us, as you said, are being taken in human trafficking. So we are that diverse. We are that diverse. And I think like other nations, we are as diverse as that. But there's hope for all of us. We talked about the few examples of the Traorés, of the Bogos, of Mushweshwe, of Leo the 14th. All of them were born like everybody else as babies, and nobody knew where they would end up. So nobody knows where we will end up, but we have a lot of potential for that Ubuntu, those good relations. We have potential for high achievement. And one of the things that scholars have written about and discovered is that the education, the coloniality education, which we are trying to run out of, the world, Africa mainly, and the Caribbeans are trying to decolonize. We are aware that the coloniality is in the mind, but also that it is entrenched in education. And so we are, and that is one of the programs I'm working on, how to decolonize education, how to unlock teachers and learners natural potential for Ubuntu and for high achievement, because we are quite capable. We should know that. We shouldn't boast it. It should be something that encourages us that we need to work, because it is only when we work hard that we'll be able to unfold and unleash that potential.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us in an episode of Conscious Conversations. Definitely much more to come. Thank you so much for the work you do. For your commitment to healing, to resilience, your commitment to love, because, you know, this work, it has a lot of challenges, simply because the mainstream sector does not value it, you know. So I recognize the hardship and the challenges that come with, you know, getting your work through publications, with getting people to understand the depth and the significance of decolonizing the mind. You know, I think we speak about it. It's been spoken about it from the 1950s, from, I think, before then in the academic world. And we are still speaking about decolonization. And so as a younger person, these things frustrate me. Maybe it's the impatience of youth, but they frustrate me to say they've been spoken about for so many years, for decades. We've been speaking about decolonization, it's been written about, and yet the world continues to become unequal. You know, violence becomes worse, you know, and it is now hidden, you know, in very, perverse sort of like ways. Yeah, I could go on and on, but thank you very much for your commitment, you know, overall, and for making the time to have this conversation with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mema Vatu, and thank you to your community for giving us the opportunity to share. There's quite a lot that we need to do together if we should get. This generation has a responsibility to ensure that something has started. Yes, there's been talk for decades about decolonization, but we have been motivated for that. We have pointed the direction that we need to decolonize the mind. Now our work is to make sure that now we talk about and we do the how. That is where we are. How to decolonize it, not just the need to decolonize.
Thank you for journeying with us in this episode of Conscious Conversations. May something spoken here return to you when you most need it, gently, powerfully, as a reminder of your wholeness. If this conversation moved you, love to hear from you. You can connect with us through montsiem.com. Until next time, stay present, stay tender, and remember, you are not alone in the work of transformation and liberation. Zimbabwe.